Today, we'd like to see the title of other doctrine in the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. First of all, for online students of the world, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Where could you find the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible? The question one, disciple introduced by himself, I am an apostle by the command of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Where could you find the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ? Question 2, in verse 4, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes, rather than godly edification which is in faith. What are wrong? Disciple Paul encourages Timothy, you stay on sound doctrine. So, what are wrong over fables, endless genealogies? Question 3. In verse 10, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, what's the sound doctrine in this context? What is the sound doctrine in this context? First of all, we want to see when disciple Paul wrote this letter to Ephesian church, to Timothy. So Timothy was in Ephesus while Paul moved on to Macedonia. So we are not sure exactly when disciple Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. So in the Bible, we could see three possible times, periods. Number one, on the second missionary trip, when Paul first left Ephesus. That is in the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 19 through 21. And Paul came to Ephesus and left them there, left the Ephesians people, Ephesians Christians there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him, or they asked the Jew, asked Paul, to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keeping this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. So first, number one, when Paul first left Ephesus in order to go to Jerusalem for the feast. That's number one. Number two possible time period, on the third missionary trip, when Paul stayed for 3 years in Ephesus. Paul stays for 3 years in Ephesus. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 17 through 38. Particularly, here, talk about that. Disciple Paul called the elders over Ephesus after he stayed in Ephesus city for 3 years to teach whole counsel of God. So particularly in verse 27, disciple said, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So basically, disciple Paul taught the Ephesians Christians entire the Bible. Then, verse 31 said, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So basically, disciple Paul pointed out, you know, false teachers, the second fugitive in Ephesus, or the third missionary trip. Then, that time also, disciple Paul, you know, went to Jerusalem to support the church in Jerusalem, who suffered financial difficulties. So that is the last one. Traditionally, on the last or the fourth missionary journey after the imprisonment in Rome, before the second or the last imprisonment in Rome toward the martyr. Book of Acts, chapter 28, verses 16 through 31. Disciple Paul was released after the first imprisonment. Then chapter 28, book of Acts, last book, verse 16 through 31, particular 23 said, so when they had appointed him, Paul, a day, many came to Paul at his lodging. Disciple rented a certain room, so he was teaching the Bible in Rome, to whom he explained it and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophet from morning till evening, and some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So then, verse 30, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house in Rome, and received all who came to Paul, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So basically, the first Timothy, disciple Paul, wrote the first Timothy, moved on to Macedonia. But that time Timothy was in Ephesus. But we are not sure exactly on the second missionary trip, or on the third missionary trip, or the last missionary trip, or fourth missionary trip. So basically, we don't know, but we are sure when disciple wrote the first Timothy, Timothy was in Ephesus while Paul moved on to Macedonia. Macedonia is today Europe area. Ephesus is minor Asia. Today is Turkey area. Macedonia today is Greece area. So first one, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Here, commandment is a little stronger term than will. Commandment like order. Will is a little normal general term, but most disciple Paul, in a greeting, he said the will of God. For example, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, right here. So most of the will of God, but Titus chapter 1, verse 3, also commandment here. God has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Commandment order. So usually a disciple create by himself using the term will of God or will of Christ, but here commandment a little stronger term. Also our Savior. Here our Savior meaning God is our Savior, which means initiator for our salvation. According to John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved, God initiated, so loved the world meaning all people, the world, that he gave, God gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, should not perish, but having everlasting life. So therefore, God is the initiator for salvation. That's why God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Here, also the question one, where could we find the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ? Disciple Paul was called an apostle. Apostle, literally meaning a person who is sent out. So basically, Paul, who is sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ. Where can we find out? The book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 15, the first time, the Lord said to him is Ananias, because the disciple Paul, that time his name Saul, he tried to persecute Christians. So on the Damascus, disciple Paul, that time his name Saul. Saul meaning the great man. Paul meaning the small man or the little man. A humble term, but the Saul means a little arrogant term, great man, like that. So Paul tried to persecute Christians. Paul met on Damascus Jesus Christ. That time, Jesus Christ called another Christian, name is Ananias. So here, disciple said to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. He meaning Paul. Jesus said, Paul is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, number one Gentiles, number two kings, number three children of Israel. So we could find out, that Jesus Christ and called and desired Paul to preach the gospel, number one, before Gentiles. So Gentiles, we know that, the disciple Paul, the letter, many of them to Gentiles, for example, Ephesians, Galatians, and like that, or Kings, the book of Acts, and introduced disciple Paul, testified before kings. So also the children of Israel, so disciple Paul, argued with the Jews. So that kind of, so we could find out the disciple Paul was called as to be sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, book of Acts chapter 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, this day meaning Antioch church, fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So Barnabas and Saul was sent missionaries by Antioch church. Yeah. By whom? By the Holy Spirit. That's why we can see disciple Paul was called to be sent out or to be apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ or by God, because the Holy Spirit, yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, Trinity God, anyhow. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26 also. Now to God, who is able to establish you, you mean Romans Christians, according to my gospel. Disciples said, my gospel, which my meaning, disciple accepted the gospel. That is, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scripture made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Here also to the commandment of everlasting God, you know, disciple and deliver the gospel to all nations, you know, like that. So the next is here, there is an apostle over Jesus. Next question is our hope. So the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, because last time we already discussed about that, you know, all Christians, you know, ultimate goal is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you live, we are living for the purpose of to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, or to be like the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, such as an engineer, architect, or a wife position, husband, or a single woman position, no matter what position. Yeah. So we all, that's why, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. The First Timothy chapter 1 says, also the First Peter chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the death. Disciple Peter talks about living hope. So our hope is not dead, which meaning our hope, living hope. So all Christians shall have everlasting life. So anyway, ultimately, we will meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. So either by rapture or by meeting the Lord Jesus Christ through, you know, it's a, you know, physical death. So disciple Peter said, living hope. So that is, that's why, you know, our ultimate hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. Here, a true son in the faith, which meaning not biological son, because the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 1, we know that then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed it, but his father was a Greek. So biological father, Timothy, is a mother, Jewish father is Greek.
Yeah.
So, but not in disciple Paul. Disciple is the Jews, you know, the Benjamin tribe, you know. So, Jews, you know, but here, true son means spiritual son. In the faith, spiritual son. Like, you know, Titus chapter 1, verse 4, also Titus, disciple called Titus, is a true son too. To Titus, a true son in our common faith. Here, common faith, which meaning disciple Paul has a common vision with the Titus and Timothy. So common faith, because we know that, you know, Barnabas and disciple Paul, they had a severe dispute. Because whether or not Mark should be brought to next, you know, missionary trip,
yeah.
But disciple Paul's position, Luke John should not be accompanied to next missionary trip because he failed to continually accompany with disciple Paul on the first missionary trip. That's disciple Paul's position. But Barnabas' position, no. Mark, you know, should be accompanied for the next missionary trip because Jesus loved, you know, that kind of sense. But they had a severe dispute because the vision different. Although both of them were, you know, very good Christian, the example of Christian, Barnabas and Paul. So he had common faith, which meaning their common vision, you know, shared the spiritual sons, you know, Timothy and Titus. But disciple Paul never mentioned, you know, Mark or John as a true son, you know, not at all, you know. So, you know, that is, we understand, we taste, you know, in that way. So a true son in the faith, so spiritual son, you know, Timothy, who share, you know, common vision to glorify God. Grace and mercy and peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Paul's letter, usually twin grace and peace. So, which meaning, if you do not experience grace, you could not experience peace.
No.
So, that's why disciple always say grace and peace, but here mercy, you know, the between mercy is added between grace term and the peace term. So only you could find out, you know, pastoral epistles. Here Timothy, the other one Titus. So disciple mentioned true son, only true sons, you know, the spiritual sons only. You know, the mercy term, you know, is added to Timothy and Titus. Here in the 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2 said, grace, mercy, and peace. Not grace and peace. Grace, mercy, peace. Also, Titus chapter 1, you know, verse 4, you know, also said, here, Titus chapter 1, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Christ Jesus, our Lord. So mercy, we could, you know, find out, you know. So, verse 3, as I urged you, or I begged you, you know, I asked it a little strongly, urged you when I went into Macedonia. So we know that here, when disciple left to Macedonia, so disciple sent a letter to Timothy, remain in Ephesus, remain, meaning Timothy, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, which meaning let some stay on solid doctrine, which disciple taught, no other doctrine. So other doctrine or different doctrine. So basically, the last question, what is a sound doctrine? I want to give you the answer is simply said, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. That is, we can say, you know, sound doctrine. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So sound doctrine meaning, not by your righteousness you are saved, rather than by God's grace, totally God's grace. So by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God account you righteous. That is basically sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is a focus on trust, faith, you know, or accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Not in, you know, your work, you know, your, you know, appearance of righteousness, no such thing. Because the Bible said all human beings are sinners. regardless of how much sinners. But anyway, you know, all human beings are sinners, originated from Adam, who disobeyed, you know, God's order not to eat, you know, forbidden, you know, fruit. You know, so that's just the reason. Here we are saying, I urged you when I went to you into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables. So let some teachers don't, you know, to give heed to fables, meaning making up story. About 30 years ago, one Indonesian fellow that showed up in a lot of miraculous works. You know. So he said, in Indonesia, you know, that person was raised up. You know. Also, you know, there is communion service, the water, they changed it into wine. So finally, it was discovered that all of them were made up story, you know, in Indonesia. So Jesus said, you know, I am, you know, truth. So made up story could not, you know, glorify, you know, God, you know, at all, because the means, the tools, you know, the false basis. So that is a fables. Do not pay attention. Fables make up story, and endless, you know, genealogies. You know, one example: Abraham, they had a lot of wives, not only Sarah. So after the death of Sarah, in the book of Genesis, you know, talks about Abraham married, you know, some wife. Then is they are talking about the second wife, who was the second wife, who was the third wife, you know, who were, you know, their descendants. So don't, you know, the focus on the Bible genealogy. Always, you know, there are, you know, background, you know, to explain the Lord Jesus Christ. So always a background. So don't spend you know, the non-issue of the genealogy, which cause a dispute, because it, which cause, you know, dispute the argument. So we can see honest question, also dishonest question. Honest question, a question to see true answer, to build a faith. That is an honest question, because a faith is comes by hearing. Hearing comes by word of God. That's why, you know, he's seeking, you know, the true answer. But the dishonest question, argumentative question, not really seeking for, you know, answer. They are trying to argument. Why, you know, they may try to argument? Because those teachers take away to share from faith to false teachers. You know, false teachers, you know, the hidden intent, usually money or our own glory, own power. So, you know, that is the reason. So disciple here mentioned rather than godly edification, which is in faith. So the question is not to edify faith. So that is in dishonest. The question is, are you dishonest? Verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment, or purpose of the warning, urging, is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. So basically their heart is not pure heart to love God, rather than to love in, you know, own profit, own glory, own power. So not in good conscience. So the contaminated conscience originated from Adam, not good conscience, before Adam commission of a sin. Sincere faith, or pure faith, from which some having strayed, right here, take away, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, so profitless talk, desiring to be teachers of the Lord, understanding neither what they say, nor the things which they affirm. So they are teaching the law. The law is usually Pentateuch, you know, Moses, five books, you know. So basically they are teaching Moses, you know, five books, but they do not understand what, you know, the law means. Also they do not bring their behavior to affirm what they teach the law. So that is basically meaning. Verse 8, but we know that the law is good. Why? The law is God's word, because God is good. If one uses it lawfully, so the problem the law uses lawfully is, the law is basically uses lawfully means how much I am guilty, rather than by keeping law, how I can be righteous. Again, one uses it lawfully. To use the law lawfully is to reveal how much we are guilty, rather than by keeping law, how we can be righteous. Why? Because Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and verse 18, disciple confessed by himself, therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. The law is good. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Why? Because we are sinners. Not because we committed a certain sin. Because we are sinners originated from Adam. Nothing good dwells, for two will is present with me. Two will meaning to do something according to God's word, which is a law. Two will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. So we cannot perform what's good because we are sinners. So that is the reason. Also, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through 9, disciple said, disciple, you know, testified by himself, in terms of law, he might be righteous, but here, although I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else think he may be confident in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, because the law required, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ, counted nothing. So basically, his human effort doing to try to keep righteousness, everything considered nothing, no value for Christ. Yet indeed, or really, I also count all things loss, all things, nothing, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So the Bible is excellence or supreme,
yeah.
Supreme, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, rather than he considered the all thing which he did, all righteousness and in the law, considered as dung, rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Here in conclusion, verse 9, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law which meaning keeping the law, obeying the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. This is a sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. By our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, God accounts us righteous. Yeah. That's a sound doctrine, period. Not in a human effort. By keeping law, I couldn't become righteousness at all. Why? Because nothing good dwells in my flesh. My flesh work. So that's why in Josiah Paul emphasized here. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, but not lawfully use it because the teacher of law, you know, by keeping law, they try to be righteous. That is, it is impossible because we are sinners. We are original sinners. Impossible. Not even we commit a sin. We are sinners. Knowing this, the law is not made for righteous person. Law is existent for sinners here, for the lawless, violated, and insubordinate or disobedient people, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for the unholy, and profane. Profane meaning like a heresy or a cult, you know, other doctrine than sound doctrine, you know, that kind of, you know, the profane. For murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, murder meaning the killing, intentional killing called murderers. For manslaughter meaning unintentional killers, such as a car accident, you know, kind of thing. That is a mistake, you know, killing somebody. That is unintentional killers. For fornicators meaning whoremongers, a person to the business of a prostitute. For sodomite, homosexual. For kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers before court and false testimony. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine means, again, as I already said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust or my faith. So by my faith, God accounts me righteous, not by my keeping the law. God couldn't consider me right. Why? Because we are sinners. Let's see, you know, each question. In verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Where could you find the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ? Example, book of Acts, chapter 9, you know, verse 15, Jesus said, Paul is a chosen vessel of mine, of Jesus, to bear Jesus' name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Jesus says so. In verse 4, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogy, which cause dispute, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. What are wrong? Number one, those disputes, thing, number one, no godly edification of faith. Number two, no love. Verse 5, you know, no love out of pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. So that's why, that's wrong. Last question in verse 10, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, you know, sinners, wrongdoers, you know, for perjurers, if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, what's the sound doctrine? Sound doctrine, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, God accounts us righteous, based upon Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Let's pray all together with the Lord's Prayer, then, you know, we'll finish, you know, today's Bible study.